Kind of late, and I don't want to be too long. My wife says I'm kind of short anyway, so. But before we get started, Rain asks if she has a couple of scriptures she would like to read, so she can go ahead and read it for us.
And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love and pray standing in the congregations and on the corners of the streets. To be seen by men, truly I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and having shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly. And when praying, do not be on babbling like the nations, for they think that they shall be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is the way you should pray. Our Father who is in heaven, let your name be set apart. Let your region come. Let your desire be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into trial, but deliver us from the wicked one, because ours is the regain and the power and the esteem forever. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Wow. All right. How many has been enjoying Sukkot? Oh, this has been an awesome, awesome time, huh? The Feast of Tabernacles, and I tell you, tonight's, I don't think I can button it. It's kind of tight. And I don't want to see nobody falling asleep, neither. I know y'all full. It's been a long week. It's been a joyous week, though. Amen. It's been a wonderful week. We have had a wonderful time at homes, and it's just been awesome. And here we are, the eighth day, the finale. Wow. What a day this is going to be, huh? So excited about today. So we'll go ahead and get started right fast. I'll go through this pretty quick because we still got to rejoice. We can't leave before we rejoice. So, I mean, we'll let your food digest and then get ready to, I'll say shake a leg a little bit, but just get ready to maybe bob a little bit or something. Rejoice, happy, huh? Yeah, man, this is happy time. We have a lot to be happy for. Listen, he delivered us from spiritual Egypt. He took us out with a strong right hand, the scripture says. I mean, if that's not enough to get you moving and singing, saying hallelujah and rejoicing, then what else is there for him to do? What else is there for him to do? Amen? Hallelujah. So, okay, we go ahead. It says, the very name of this festival, Shamayin Ezerit, literally means the eighth assembly. The Shamayin Ezerit then represents the completion of one cycle. How many is we complete in one cycle? Who's preparing? Look, today, tonight, you start preparing. You got a year. We have a year to prepare. We got a year to think how we're going to decorate. We got a year to think about how we're going to, what we're going to cook. Just everything. We got a whole year. We're finishing this one cycle, but one is getting ready. We're starting all over again. And I can't wait. I can't wait for the next Sukkot. But we don't have to wait long because we have Passover coming up. Passover is going to kick us off. In the beginning of another new cycle, according to Elohim's plan, it represents a new beginning. This new beginning requires rain, a type of spirit of Elohim poured out in order to produce a new crop and a new harvest. Shamayin Ezeret represents the beginning of a new rainy season during which the earth is nourished by rain from the heavens. Spiritually, then it represents the pouring out anew of Elohim's set-apart spirit and the continuation and expectation of a new harvest for the kingdom of Elohim. The eighth day leads to intimate fellowship with Elohim and pure worship. That's what the 8-8-8 day leads to. Intimate fellowship, that intimacy, intimacy, fellowship with Elohim in pure worship. This is what we're celebrating. This is what's one of the many things that Sukkot is all about, is celebrating Elohim with us. Think about that. He says, you build a sukkah, and that's where I'm going to dwell at. Y'all build it, and I'll send my presence. So this is what we celebrate in Elohim with us. Leviticus 23, 33 through 34. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Sukkot, for 7 days unto Yahweh. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. On the 8th day shall be a holy convocation unto you, an offer made by fire. What is an offer that we can offer? Ourselves. Offering our bodies as a living sacrifice, the scripture says. That can be an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. And ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work. These are the feasts of Yahweh, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto Yahweh, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice and a drink offering, everything upon this day, on his day. Besides the Sabbaths of Yahweh, besides the regular Sabbaths, besides the weekly Sabbaths, and besides your gifts, and besides all your vows, and besides all your free will offerings, which ye give unto Yahweh. Also in the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto Yahweh 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, a Shabbat, and on the 8th day shall be a Shabbat. And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches, palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice. Ye shall rejoice before Yahweh your Elohim 7 days. And I hope that's what we did. You know, it was good to gather, but I hope our mindset was we're going before him and rejoicing for what he has done and what he's going to continue to do in our lives. And willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before Yahweh your Elohim 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto Yahweh 7 days in the year. It shall be a statue forever in your generations. And ye shall celebrate it in the seventh month. And not only our generations, but I'm so thankful that he'll open up our understandings to getting back to his Torah and getting back to his biblical feast days, not only for our generation, but what a greater generation that we get to leave to our little ones, to our kids and their kids. What an honor and what a blessing. And you shall keep it a feast unto Yahweh 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt, when he brought us out of that land of Egypt, out of that land of bondage and slavery. That's what we was in. And I am Yahweh your Elohim. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of Yahweh. It is his feast. Elohim with us, past, present, and future. Elohim with us in the past. Let's look at it. Exodus 19, 1 through 6. In the third month, when the children of Israel were going forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto Elohim, and Yahweh called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, the house of Yaakov, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings. How he bears us on eagle's wings, and I brought you unto myself. Thank you. What an esteem honor, huh? He bears us on eagle's wings, and he brought us unto himself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. You want to be a treasure? What it takes? Obedience. We have to obey. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. 1 Peter 2, 1 through 10. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Look all the things that we have to give up. It costs us something. It costs us. But to be set apart, that's the only way. You're not going to be set apart if we don't give up these things. As newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. We got a hunger for the truth. We got a desire, the sincere milk of the word. If so be ye have tasted that Yahweh is gracious. 7 days, 8 days. He gave us a bonus day to taste how good he is. He's gracious to us. To whom coming as unto a living stone. When you taste something good, and we tasted a lot of good stuff this week. What it does for you, you crave it. You go back. You want it more and more and more and more. When you taste Yahweh, that's what he does for you. You want to go back. You want more and more and more of him. After this 8 day, you're like, man, Sukkot's over. That quick. It went by fast. And look, it was some long nights, long days. Don't get me wrong. You're human. You get tired. But when you taste him, you taste how good he is. It's almost sad that it's ending. I feel like it went by so quick. It's like the best vacation you ever went on. When you're enjoying yourself, it goes by so fast. That's how this Sukkot was. It went by so fast. But that's what it does because he's that gracious. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of Elohim and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Elohim by Yeshua Messiah. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture. Where is it contained at? What is the scripture? The Torah. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and that he that believed on him shall not be confounded. That chief cornerstone that the builders rejected, what he says? He was selected by Elohim. That you have to believe on him. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, which the builders rejected, the same is made the head of the corner. What a day that's going to be when they see that one that they rejected, and he's the head cornerstone. Huh? And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at, what they stumbling at? The word. No difference than what we're doing. People stumble at this, at what we're doing. But it's not because of what, you know, it's because of the word. It's because of the word that they stumbling. Being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye, somebody say, but me. Or a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. Huh? I don't know about you, but I love those names that he called me right here. I could care less what the world calls us. He says, I am a chosen generation, that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. I'm so glad he called me out of darkness. That's a lonely place. That's a very scary place to be when you're in darkness. Look, because darkness brings what? It brings fear. It brings panic. There's nothing good when you're in darkness. You go in pitch darkness and it's chaos. That's what darkness brings, chaos. But he brings marvelous light. Hallelujah. Which in times past were not a people. We were. But thank God. But are now the people of Elohim. We're not a people of the world. We're a people of Elohim. Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Colossians 2, 8 through 14. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. You know how you don't let them spoil you? You get in the word. You inundate yourself with the scripture, and they can't spoil you. They tried it with Yeshua, and what he did? He hit them with the word, and it didn't. He couldn't spoil them. Through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Messiah. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the majesty in person bodily. And ye are complete in him. We are complete in who? Yeshua, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Messiah. Hallelujah. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of operation of Yahweh, who had raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins. That's where we was at. This is what we celebrate in Sukkot for, because he took us out of that spiritual Egypt. Who dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, had he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Forgiven all your iniquities, all your sins, all your trespasses. He's forgiven all of that. Rejoice? Only for 8 days? No. How about rejoice for the rest of our life? How about we rejoice for him every day? Every day he gives us breath in our lungs and allows us to wake us up, we should rejoice. He set this appointed time for 8 days. He gives us this. But every day, this don't have to end tonight. This goes on every day, every time our eyes open, we rejoice for what he's done for us and what he'll continue to do if we be obedient. Blotting out, somebody better shout for this one, the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. That was all your iniquities. That was all your transgressions. Listen, it was written down. But what he did, blotted out the handwritten of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way. Oh, my. Nailing it to his stake. Think about that. The pain, the suffering. It's our mind can't even think. But what he did, he nailed it to his stake, all my transgressions. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he spoiled them because they thought they had them. They didn't count on the third day. Day one gone, oh, they was rejoicing. Day two came, they was hallelujah. I don't think they were saying hallelujah. But they might have been high-fiving and dancing, but the third day. Spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Let no man judge us on that, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Messiah. Exodus 25, 1 through 9. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that give it willingly with his heart. And ye shall take my offering. He's telling them, bring the offering what? To build a sukkah. Get that offering to build it. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold and silver and brass. That's why when it's time to put this thing up or take it down, it shouldn't be a problem. Because he commands us to do it. That's the offering we could bring. Putting it up and taking it down. Not just a handful. And blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and rams' skins dyed red, and badgers' skins and shit 'em wood. All for the light, spices for anointing all, and for sweet incense. Onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary. Let them make me a sukkah. Why? Elohim with us, that I may dwell among them. Listen, you want him to dwell among us. We want that. That's what we want to, that's what we need to be craving. Craving that he dwells among us when we're putting this up. We should take great honor in this when it's time to build, put his sukkah up. We should take great honor because that's what we want. We want him to dwell amongst us. According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. Can we do it our own way? No. He tells us. Do it his way, after his pattern. Exodus 40, 16 through 17. Thus did Moses, according to all that Yahweh commanded him, so did he. And it came to pass in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was reared up. Exodus 40, 34 through 38. Exodus 40, 34 through 38. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of Yahweh filled the tabernacle. You know, we sing that song, show me your glory. The glory of Yahweh filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of Yahweh filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. So listen, when the cloud was there, they moved. When the cloud was gone, then you don't move. Ain't no different than us today. When he says move, you move. When he says stop, don't move. When he says speak, you speak. When he says zip it, you zip it. We learn from that. Because what happened? When he says zip it and we don't, that's when we find ourselves in trouble. And there's always consequences for your actions. But, you know, we're learning. We're learning. We're growing. Because sometimes we still have a hard time in picking that concept up. You know, when he says, shh. And that's all you hear is a little whisper. Shh. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of Yahweh was upon the tabernacle. By day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel, throughout all their journeys. He was with them. He was with them. Deuteronomy 29:5. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not wax old upon you, and thy shoe is not wax old upon thy foot. You think he was showing them who he was? You think about one suit of clothes and one pair of shoes. Never wore out. 40 years, not 40 days, not 40 hours, 40 years. You think his glory was in there? You best believe it. Try wearing clothes for 40 hours. Let's just do hours. Wear your clothes for 40 hours and then come see me. I want to see how well you holding up. Yeah, that's a nice way to put it, holding up. 2 Chronicles 5, 1 through 7. Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of Yahweh was finished, and Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, and the silver and the gold and all the instruments, but he among the treasures of the house of Elohim. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel, and all the heads of the tribe, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, to Jerusalem, to bring up the Ark of the Covenant to Yahweh out of the city of David, which is Zion. Wherefore all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king in the feast, which was in the seventh month. The reestablishment of this temple. This is the feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths. And all the elders of Israel came, and the Levite took up the ark, and they brought up the ark and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle. These did the priests and the Levites bring up. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him before the ark sacrificed sheep and oxen, which could not be told nor numbered for multitude. We just talked about that, all the sheep and everything that was sacrificed. Couldn't even be numbered. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of Yahweh unto his place, to the oracle of the house, into the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. 2 Chronicles 5, 13 through 14. And it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound, to be heard in praising and thanking Yahweh. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praise Yahweh, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. That then the house was filled with the cloud, even the house of Yahweh. Notice what it was. What it says, sound to be heard, and they made one sound to be heard for praising and thanking Yahweh. Sukkot, we need to be praising and thanking Yahweh. For why? For he's good to us. His mercy endured, not sometimes. His mercy endures forever. Forever. So that the priests, I think I read this scripture before we started, right when we was getting ready to get into Sukkot, maybe in doing the trumpets. And this is what really been on my mind and on my heart. Because this is the spot where I want to be. Could not stand to minister. That's what I told him every day this week, for sure. This is what I wanted to feel. I want to feel this. By reason of the cloud, for the glory of Yahweh. I want his glory on me when I'm in a sukkah, to where I can't even stand to read his word. That all you want to do is weep before him. You talking about the power? You talking about the glory upon you? This is what the desire that we should have. This is the desire we want right here. For the glory of Yahweh have filled the house of Elohim. And this is his house. This is his house. Do we have a reason to praise and rejoice before Yahweh? Do we have a reason? Well, of course we do. Let's see. Matthew 1, 18 through 25. This is the reason. Now the birth of Yeshua, Messiah, was on this wise. When as his mother Miriam was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of Yahweh appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Miriam thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, is of the set-apart Spirit. It's nothing you did, Joseph. Let me just ease your mind. This is the Spirit of Yah. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Yeshua. In Hebrew, you know what that meaning? You know what the meaning of this is? Huh? Yah, the salvation of Yah. Do we need a reason to rejoice? The salvation of Yah. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of Yahweh by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. What we're celebrating? Elohim with us. Which being interpreted is El with us. Hallelujah. We got a reason to rejoice. Huh? Because of Yeshua. That's why we have a reason to rejoice. Because he was willing to say, I'll go. The first Adam failed. I'll go. I won't fail. I obey the Torah to the very end, to death. That's what he did. He obeyed it to death. Why? Because he's El with us, Emmanuel. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of Yahweh had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Yeshua, the salvation of Yah. John 1:14, and the word was made flesh. We're still talking about, do we have a reason to rejoice? And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He sukkahed among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, the only, full of grace and truth. John 14:8-11. Philip said unto him, Master, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Yeshua said unto him, Have I been so long with you, Philip? Huh? Philip, the Father? I'm the exact representation of the Father. I'm here dwelling with you. And yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that had seen me had seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? I and the Father are in one, Philip. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. I like that phrase, because listen, when we all say, when we're asked about something we're doing or we're questioned about something, we say, well, pastor said, that's, I've done quite a few times. But no, this is what we should say, but the word said. Not pastor said. He's just being a willing vessel. Because guess what? You know what that does? Put all the blame on him. Give them a more reason to hate him. Because pastor said, no, how about we say the words that he speaks is not his. It's the words of the Father, the word the Father speaks. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very word's sake. Luke 2:1-15. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus, that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth in Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn and wrapped him in a swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of Yahweh came upon them, and the glory of Yahweh shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings. For behold, I'll bring you good news of great joy. Huh? What was the question? Do we need joy? Which shall be to all people. Great joy, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Messiah the Sovereign. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude. You think they was rejoicing? Huh? He sent a multitude with this angel. The heavenly host. praising Elohim and saying, glory to Elohim in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Glory to Elohim in the highest. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which Yahweh had made known unto us. Elohim, we just did the past, we're going to do the present. Elohim with us present. John 14, 12 through 17. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, he that believeth on Yeshua, the works that I do, he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whosoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Notice who's getting the glory. The Father. He gives the Father glory. Yeshua didn't take no glory. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, listen, he'll do it for you, but it comes with what you have to do. I'll do anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me and keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. He sent us Yeshua the first time, but what he's saying, he's going to give you another comforter. He's going to give you the set-apart spirit, the spirit of Yah, that he may abide with you forever. He can abide in you. He can abide means he can sukkah. He can dwell in you forever. Even the spirit of truth. That's what we're seeking, huh? That's what we're after. Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Yep. The truth hurts. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, but we know him. For he dwelleth, for he sukkahs with you and shall be in you. Do we really have a revelation of Yahweh dwelling in us? Do we really have a revelation of Yahweh dwelling in us? Joel 2, 28 through 29. And this shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And all your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaid in those days will I pour out my spirit. We have a revelation. His spirit, his set apart spirit. He says he will pour out upon all flesh. John 14, 23 through 24. Yeshua answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep whose words? My words. But whose words, what words did he speak? He just told us. The words that I speak are not my own. They're the Father's. He said, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him. He will make our, he will dwell with him. He will be in us. He will succor with us. But we have to keep his words. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Elohim with us in the future. Elohim and what we got, but that's when we step into that millennial reign. Elohim with us in the future. Revelations 19, 1 through 9. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto Yahweh our Elohim. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he had judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and had avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, hallelujah! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped Elohim, that sat on the throne saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our Elohim. Praise our Elohim, all ye his servants, and that ye fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for Yahweh El Shaddai, omnipotent, reigneth. Hallelujah. This is the future. We got a few. Our future is bright, huh? If nobody ever told y'all, y'all future is bright. I'm telling y'all tonight, future is bright for each and every one of us that is in here. We have a bright, bright future. Don't let nobody tell you no different. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife had made herself ready. That's what we're doing tonight. That's what we're ending Sukkot with. We're making ourselves ready. And to her was granted that she would be arrayed in fine linen. Who's ready to put on that fine linen? Clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Because look, if we don't have this fine linen on, what the scripture says? He ain't got the right dress. No, you talking about a dress code? Huh? You talking about a wedding? You know, some of us, when we got weddings and we call for dress codes, that they get broken. People just think they can just come up there with shrimp boots, jeans, button-up shirt, however they want. You call for, you know, shirt and tie. And listen, you're not coming in there without that white linen. I'm sorry to tell them. You're not coming in his wedding with your shrimp boots or with a pair of slacks. You better have your white linen, and it better be clean and white. Clean. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, Write. Why? Blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. He calls us blessed. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of Elohim. Isaiah 2, 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of Yahweh's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow unto it. All the nations. Because if you don't, there'll be no rain. And many people shall go and say, Come ye. And let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the Elohim of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, the Torah, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. Listen, don't be deceived when they say, Come on, look, there's him over there. You know how you're going to tell the difference? Listen, he's been 2,000 years sitting at the right hand of the Father, basking in his glory. Listen, the anti-Messiah ain't gonna look like that. He might be doing signs and wonder, but you can best believe he ain't gonna have the glory of the Father sitting upon him. Yeshua's gonna have that glory. So when they say, Hey, come on, let's go, he's over here. Nah, we don't have to. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. We're going, hey, get your farming clothes on. We're going to be farmers. Huh? No more swords, no more fighting. That's peace. That's peace. Oh, House, Trump signing a peace treaty? Thinking he's going to set this deal? He don't know peace. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of Yahweh. Let's walk in his light, in his Torah, in his obedience. Zechariah 14, 16 through 19. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year. All the ones that came against Jerusalem. Listen, you can fight. You can be defiant. And you know what it says? To worship King, the King, Yahweh of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, and to keep Sukkot. And it shall be that those that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. You're going to be able to tell? There's going to be a distinction. You're going to want the rain when you're doing farming. Boy, we're going to have beautiful, beautiful just cucumbers and, you know, I grew a garden, but it was a very small one, so, cabbage, whatever we're going to be growing. Ours is going to be beautiful, but those that don't go up, you're going to be able to tell. I wonder what's wrong with their garden. Should have went to Sukkot. Should have traveled. I ain't praying for you to have no rain either. I don't know if that's going to be wrong, but I hope not. And if the family of Egypt go not up and not come, they have no rain. There shall be the plague wherewith Yahweh will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. He's going to smite them. I'm so glad we're practicing this. I am so glad we're rehearsing. Because listen, I'm loving it right here on earth. So I could imagine when we get up and hit up there. Well, he come down here. Not up there. We're not going to. We're going to be down here. I could imagine Sukkotin with him. Oh, man. I ain't never going to get tired. My clothes won't even get old on me. What? Hallelujah. Whew. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. There's going to be a price to pay when you don't do it. Listen, there's a price to pay when you don't do it now. When you know the truth and not to do it, it's sin. It's a price to pay when you don't do it now. Hallelujah. I hope y'all enjoyed it, because I did. I have fun up here. I really do. I enjoy it. You do get nervous, but it's just after a while, it's like the nerves leave, and you're like, okay, here I am. I'm just, use me. I just want to be a willing vessel. You know, just use me. Here I am. And that's all he's looking for. That's all he's looking for. Amen. He's so good to us. So listen, I hope y'all had a wonderful time for 7 days. And I hope you had a wonderful time tonight, because I sure did. The feast is awesome. Can't wait till one day that we're doing it for real with him, with Yeshua himself. Think about that. Sukkotin with the Torah teacher himself. Wow. So good. Amen. So good to us. So we're going to rejoice. Who's ready to rejoice? Everybody, food should be digested. And I hope I preached good enough to where make you want to rejoice a little bit. Amen. Anybody need prayer?